Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And also to you.
Thank you. Well, we finally get to the end of the story, huh? Okay. It's only taken 3 weeks, all right? And then we start another story next week. And I think that one only takes 2 weeks to get through it, okay? The title of my sermon is God Makes a Personal Appearance. We started verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Now, why were the Chaldeans or the Babylonians out to get these Hebrew youth, the other counselors? Why were they out to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Because what? They wanted the king's favor, right? They were jealous and they wanted to get these three guys out of the way, okay? Was Nebuchadnezzar thinking clearly when he decided to throw these three guys in the fire? No, okay? No. He wasn't, but he was angry, right? And because of his anger, even some of his own soldiers died. He killed some of his own men, okay? What kind of decisions do we make when we're angry? Only the best, right? Okay. Usually we regret them, correct? Matthew Henry said, Nebuchadnezzar, in this heat, exchanged the awful majesty of a prince upon his throne or a judge upon the bench for the frightful fury of a wild bull in a net. Would men in a passion but view their faces in a glass, they would blush at their own folly and turn all their displeasure against themselves. I know I have a very long fuse, okay? I didn't always have a long fuse, but I have a very long fuse. But when, except with Robin maybe, but anyway. But when the fuse goes off, it's very ugly. Amen? And I wish I could have a picture of how I was when I was angry. Because usually I regret when I've been angry, okay? Have you ever felt that way? Because you say things you don't want to say and you do things you don't want to do, right? Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship the king's idol. That's why they were in trouble. And they're thrown into a fire. And the fire is extremely lethal. Okay, we know that because some of the king's men were killed. But the saints weren't burned. And the saints really weren't concerned because they had kingdom eyes. And the kids are going to be talking about that later, about having kingdom eyes and looking at the kingdom of God. Because they realized even if God didn't rescue them, you remember last week, if God did not rescue them, they knew that they would be in heaven, all right? Because they were living in a relationship with God and they had kingdom eyes, all right? Spurgeon writes, I would have you remember that a man's life consists not in the abundance of that which he possesses. Burn, Christian, if it comes to that. But never turn from the right way. Die, but never deny the truth of God. Lose all to buy the truth of God, but sell it not, even though the price is the treasure and honor of the whole world. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? If the world hates you, says our Lord, it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Some suppose that these words are out of date. They're old-fashioned words. Words that refer only to the apostolic time. I answer, you are out of the apostolic faith. Or else you would painfully find them to be still standing in all their force. Do we find these words to still be standing in all their force? And if not, why not? In light of the courage of these three brothers, aren't we just a bunch of wimps? I mean, for them to be willing to be thrown into a fire, and even if God didn't rescue them, and we get upset because we don't want to be politically incorrect. The question is, who do we serve? Political correctness or God? Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. And he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Who was the fourth person in the flame? Jesus, okay? You were at Bible study, maybe, and so you know. Okay, it was Jesus. Some theologians believe it was an angel, okay? But I believe it was Jesus for many reasons. But first of all, we have always remember when we read the Old Testament, it's still the same God. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And who's the eternal Son of God? Jesus. So Jesus was there in the fire with him. And what was Jesus' favorite title for himself? Son of Man, right? So he looked like a man. But at the same time, he looked like the Son of a God, or the Son of God. It's kind of amazing that God used somebody like Nebuchadnezzar to figure it out, huh? Matthew Henry says, they were loosed from their bonds. The fire did not so much as singe their clothes, burnt the cords wherewith they were bound, and set them at liberty. They had no hurt, made no complaint, felt no pain or uneasiness in the least. The flame did not scorch them, the smoke did not stifle them. They were alive and as well as ever in the midst of the flame. See how God of nature can, when He pleases, control the powers of nature to make them serve His purposes. Now was fulfilled in the letter gracious promise, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. By faith they quenched the violence of the fire, quenched the fiery darts of the wicked. There was a fourth seen with them in the fire, whose form, in Nebuchadnezzar's judgment, was like the Son of God. He appeared as a divine person, a messenger from heaven, not as a servant, but as a son, like an angel. And angels are called sons of God. But some, including me, think it was the eternal Son of God, the angel of the covenant, and not a created angel. He appeared often in our nature before He assumed it in His incarnation, and never more seasonable, nor to give a more proper indication of His great errand into the world in the fullness of time than now, when to deliver His chosen out of the fire, He came and walked with them in the fire. He came and walked with them in the fire. It is our God only that is the consuming fire. Other fire, if He but speak the word, shall not consume. Like I said, I believe it was the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. And once again, when we study the Old Testament, there's no difference between the Old Testament God and the New Testament God. Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? And who is the eternal Son of God? Jesus. We know that, right? But God makes a personal appearance. He makes a personal appearance. And just think of this, okay? There's three Jewish youth or young men that are thrown into a furnace. And does God send an angel? The eternal God of everything, goes into the fire with them. And in the same way, if we're going through troubles right now, won't that same eternal God come and be in the fire with us? Every time, right? He's always with us. So, like the song said, why do we worry? It doesn't do any good, right? And the eternal Son of God is with us, all right? Has God made a personal appearance in our lives? Yes. We had last night Bruce and Paula were here. And when I was writing this, I was thinking of Bruce. He fell off a 14-foot ladder and was crippled, and God made a personal appearance to him while he was in the hospital at St. Joe's, okay? And God made a personal appearance with Daryl, and I know with me, and with Robert, right? So we've all had a personal appearance with Christ, right? He's real, He's alive, and He'll jump into the fire with us, no matter what we're going through. Amen? Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. And this picture of Jesus being in there in the fire with them, it kind of reminds me, remember when the disciples were in the storm in the boat? Jesus came and everything was calm, right? And I think that's what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the presence of God. And even though they were in the middle of a fire, it didn't matter to them. The joy of being with God was so much better. Matthew Henry says, "Those that suffer for Christ have His gracious presence with them in their suffering, even in the fiery furnace, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And therefore, even there, they need not fear no evil. Hereby Christ showed that what is done against His people, He takes as done against Himself. Whoever throws them into the furnace does, in effect, throw Him in the furnace." This is very powerful. Whatever people do to us because we are Christians, they do to Jesus. And woe to them, right? And we look at the books of Acts chapter 9 when Saul was riding to Damascus and he was struck from the horse and fell. The scripture says, Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus directly, he was persecuting his church. So what that tells us is that when people mistreat us because we're Christians, they're doing it to Jesus. And woe to them. And the thing that struck me, do you see why we need to pray for our enemies? Because one day they're going to stand before Jesus, right? So we need to pray for them, right? Because we all have people that are enemies one way or another, whether you want to just say they irritate you or whatever. But the bottom line is we don't want anybody to go to hell, right? So we need to pray for them. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Amen? Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the..." This guy is so fickle. This is the same guy who in the last chapter was praising the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this chapter he throws them in the fire. Okay? "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." What's amazing about this is the king was impressed by the miracle, but he gives them credit for defying him. And what would happen if you defied a king back in that time? Bad stuff, right? And he's commending them for doing that, okay? So he's amazed at their faith. He's amazed at the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what he's impressed with is they were all in. They were all in for their God, okay? Even if it meant getting thrown into a fire. They were willing to die for their faith. Are we all in? Yes and no, right? Okay? I was studying, reading a book by Platt about countercultural, and he talked about a church, the church in Southeast Asia. And it's largely a Muslim country, okay? And they have a seminary. And he went to the seminary there, and in order for a pastor to be ordained, they have to go start a church and have baptized 30 new believers in a Muslim country, okay? And... They came up, the ones who had completed their ordination requirements came up, and they announced their names, and they were all very humble, and at the same time, thankful for what God had done through them, okay? But then what the speaker also did is he announced three seminarians who died proclaiming the gospel. They were all in. They're all in. And I think we're spoiled here. Matthew Henry says, sooner or later God will convince the proudest of men that He is the Most High God and above them and too hard for them. Even in those things wherein they deal proudly, He will likewise let them know who are His servants and that He owns them and will stand by them. Should we live in fear of the consequences of following God? Our God is bigger, right? So what are we so afraid of? No, right? What are we so afraid of? What's that? Yeah, fear itself. It's Satan, right? Because fear comes from Satan, all right? And what are the consequences of us being all in for God and our culture? Are we going to be killed like the seminarians? No. We might lose our job. That's a possibility, okay? You can't say God bless you? Well, God bless you for standing up, Daryl. Okay, God bless you for standing up. And more people are standing up, by the way. We've probably all heard about the wedding photographer in New Mexico who wouldn't photograph a same-sex wedding. So it's gone to the New Mexico Supreme Court, and they've ruled in favor not of the photographer but of the couple. But that's now there's a case going before the Supreme Court of the bakery up in Oregon, okay, that refused to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple because they're Christians, okay? And that's going to determine the outcome of both, but these are the signs of coming persecution, right? Because these people can lose their homes and everything, all right? So they're all in for Jesus. And there may come a time in this country when we're going to have to say we're all in for Jesus. And God bless you, Daryl, for doing that. What an illustration to say, take this job and shove it if I can't say God bless you. Okay? It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of faith. All right? Verse 29, therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. Man, this guy was terrible, right? But actually, this was a practice, okay? And even today, in the Middle East, they'll kill people, but they'll destroy their homes, too, okay? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Remember, he just promoted them in the last chapter, and this week he's throwing them in the fire. How would you like to have this guy for a boss?
I'm good.
You're good, right. Me too, okay? But the king now warns everyone in his kingdom, especially the counselors that plotted against the saints, to back off the Hebrews and their God. Because their God is mighty to save. And the three saints are promoted to a higher position in their government. And by doing that, they're able to help other Jews that are in captivity there, right? They were rewarded for their faithfulness to God. Will we be rewarded if we live in a relationship with God? We already are, yes. Doesn't mean you're going to be financially wealthy, Shannon? Didn't you have a BMW out there? No. Okay. An example is our church, Amazing Grace, okay? Financially, we're not rich. And we depend on the offerings of other churches to keep our doors open, okay? But we're rich in the Spirit. So if people ask me, is our church rich? I say, yes, our church is rich. We're rich in the Holy Spirit. And that's when you see with kingdom eyes, like Shirley's going to be talking about. She gave all the kids, I'm really glad you did this, Shirley, okay? She gave them these so that they could see with kingdom eyes, okay? We all need to have the kingdom eyes, right? and see how God sees things, all right? Does God care if we have a giant facility and thousands of people here? No. Okay. We need to look at kingdom eyes, and we've been so blessed to have the Holy Spirit here. And every week, Kathy and Shannon, we pray that the Lord doesn't take His Holy Spirit from us, right? Because without Him, we're nothing, all right? So God has made and continues to make a personal appearance among His people here at Amazing Grace. So no matter what we're going through, remember God is with us in the fire. And we need not fear or give in to worry. Just focus on God and look at His kingdom eyes and realize He has everything under control. Amen?